Blog Talk Radio.
There is only one mother, and she gives herself freely. So give thanks to her. Give thanks to her. And when you have completed your visit with our mother, leave no trace. Leave no trace.
Open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com.
Beautiful thing. Yes, you gave me your ring, and now I feel so serene. Love is a beautiful thing. You took me out on a date. You said you just couldn't wait. And now I'm feeling alive. It's such a wonderful night. Love is a beautiful thing. Yes, you gave me your ring. And now I feel just the rain. 'Cause love's a beautiful thing. beating so loud. And now you've made me so proud. Love is a beautiful thing. Love is a beautiful thing. Yes, you gave me your ring. And I feel so serene. Cause love's a beautiful thing. We've wed. The day we met, I won't forget. Our love has stood the test of time. I feel so blessed that you're mine. Love is a beautiful thing. Yes, you gave me your ring.
Give me the beat, boys, and free my soul. I wanna get lost. rock and roll and drift away.
Welcome to Messages of Light. I'm your host, Amanda Dowell. I know the previous Monday we did not have a show. We were actually hoping to get on the Mustangs and take some pictures, but that didn't happen because we got rained out in St. Louis, which is not fun. I know Mustang horses that are at the legendary Mustang Sanctuary would not want to be in the rain, having a lovely time trying to take photos with us, so we didn't get to do that, but we missed you last week, but this week we've got a good guest. First off, I wanted to say that Orville Byrd was the first to start us off with his Native American song of appreciation of the earth, which is what my guest is a lot about today. And we're going to hear from her soon. She's from Hawaii, Her name is Claire Baggio. Then you heard an original song played by Bethany Caudill. She wrote Love is a Beautiful Thing. You can check out her music video over at YouTube.com. Type in Mind with Teeth, and you will see her music video that was filmed in St. Louis. You can get that on CD. If you're looking for any of her CDs or music, you can get a hold of me at starwaya@hotmail.com or message me over at Facebook, Amanda Dowell with one L. You can also do that for a private reading. Same thing, starwaya@hotmail.com or email me or Facebook me over at Amanda Dowell with one L. Also, you heard some other tunes. Bethany did some covers, and we have a fabulous guest all the way from Hawaii who is a spiritual realtor. She's also very intuitive. She believes in the Hawaiian way, the Aloha way, and I'm sure she's going to share some really great things with us today and more. So you can give us a call in at 347-237-5339. You can check out Claire Baggio over on Facebook, Claire Baggio, B-A-J-O, Hawaii. And like I said, I'm over there, Amanda Dowell, with one L also. I'm going to bring Claire live to the show now and let her talk to us a little bit more about what's going on in her world. Welcome to the show, Claire. How are you?
Thank you, Miss Aloha.
Aloha. It's so wonderful to speak with you. Great.
Yeah, everything's going great here. Finally cooled down for winter time, which just means that the breeze just got cooler. The rain's still warm.
Oh, wow, that's
though.
Good. That's
yeah.
good. So you've had some actually calmer, cooler, happier times and, you know, a lot more, you know, balanced so it's not so hot and what have you. We've had some cold fronts coming through here. It's been kind of nice and hot one day and then really cold and, you know, wintry in the 30s in Missouri. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Illinois, we've had some cold weather, but, you know, that's what happens in the winter. But it sounds like you guys are getting some really nice weather anyway over there.
Yes, we typically, it's nice typically, but the breeze is warmer. And just right about when, was it the beginning of this month or end of last month, finally started to cool off. We had a hot summer this year. I'm not sure if it was, they called it El Nino. I had never experienced it in all of my years living here, but it was just one of those where you're standing still, sweating beads kind of thing.
Oh, wow. So, that's hot.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but it's still, I mean, I'm still so grateful to be in Hawaii because the breeze is always nice, whether you're, you know, down at the beach. At least you have a little breeze, and the people make it all so tolerable.
Yeah, I
really
can imagine.
Really nice people here. So, yeah, that's what's been the comments from visitors who keep coming here year after year after year. They just say the people are just so nice here. So, it really does make a difference. You could have beauty anywhere in the world, but it's the people that make the beauty of the place, you know, come alive. And that's how it is here on the Big Island. I'm
Absolutely.
On the Big Island, so, yeah. The Big Island of Hawaii is one of the more active islands in the sense that there's still so much wildness to it. It's not developed fully. It's only maybe about 35 or 40% built out in terms of, like, you know, people residing here. And the rest of the island is very raw and wild. And we have wild, you know, pigs and goats and mm-hmm. what we call mouflon, which is half sheep, half goat. And then we've also got the spiritual aspects of this island, which exist on all islands, but here on the Big Island, I believe, because there's so much land that's untouched, that the spirits are maybe a little bit freer to roam or to reside. And so we do have, you know, things like the Night Marchers, the King Kamehameha soldiers that still love their jobs and, you know, march on the king's path that is around the island.
Wow.
Yeah, we've got some people old and new will see torches running, you know, coming down a mountain. And when you go there in the day, there's no way that someone could have been running that fast down the mountain in cadence. So there's just really things that are unseen and seen at the same time that can't be described. But and then there's a hotel here in Kona, the Keoho Beach Hotel, that closed down. I think it was last year, and it was it's being demolished because it was built on sacred ground, and the the people, the spirits who still live there, which the Hawaiians believe that every spirit that's ever lived here still lives here. And we go back in time to the Lemurian age, when the humanoids and reptilians all lived together. This sacred ground where this hotel was built has a story of two lizard prophetesses who lived in area. There are two ponds. I believe they're brackish water ponds. And I don't think they were mermaid-like. I think they sound more lizard-like. But the story was that they served a queen lizard, and they really helped the community. So they were very prized and honored at this place in Keoho. And so what people say that they hear when they're there are not so much about those lizard prophetesses, but they hear people talking and playing music and stuff. And it sounds like
that's
a happy.
Neat.
Yeah. So the security guard will hear people up at the top floor of the penthouse singing and talking and stuff. And when he goes up there, no one's there. And then when he leaves, they sing and talk and stuff. When they're there, he can hear them from the ground, but when he goes up there, no one's there. So it sounds like the spirits, maybe even all over the world, because I know Native Americans are, you know, have things going on too. The spirits are at unrest. So they're coming and kind of, you know, holding their place and making sure that we acknowledge them. So it's really
absolutely
Hawaiian. So we have the Hawaiian tradition here is when people buy property, they bless the property before they even build, because to honor the people who had been there before, they have to bless the place before they build their house. So sometimes, like even commercial property, there was a business owner who built a property, built a house, built a building, and then wanted to have it blessed, and it was too late. The spirits had already been at unrest because he never asked before when he got there. There's a very sensitive way of acknowledging the spirits here, and so that's what I help to, you know, share with my clients, especially those people that don't live here and don't understand the culture, and because people don't see it, they think that it's not real. Yet, in the spirit realm, you can't help but acknowledge it here, especially Pele and the goddess of the volcano. Mm-hmm. They still talk about her. Tourists will talk about picking her up hitchhiking on the side of the road, and then they'll ask her where she's going, and she'll disappear from the back of their car.
Oh, my goodness.
So they're still, they're shapeshifters, some of them. Back in the days of Lemuria, I believe they were genetically modifying species, and we are a byproduct of that. We're humanoids are half human, half alien. And then there's like mermaids, which are half human, half dolphin, or half fish, or half lizard. And we have a lot of stories of those on this island as well. So the continent of Mu did exist, and these are the mountaintops of that continent that sank in the Pacific. As I study more and more, it sounds like Poseidon may have resided in this area versus Atlas in the Atlantic. And you know, the two continents and the two, you know, civilizations did exist. It's just a matter of understanding the truth and what really happened back then. So I believe the indigenous cultures, like, you know, Native American, Hawaiian, even African, Ethiopia, all of those civilizations repeat the history of creation in their chants and their, you know, their rituals that they do. And a lot of the history is passed on orally because they didn't have writing back then. The Indians or the Native Americans, they were, like your song says, leave no trace. You know, they didn't have writing that they would write down unless someone, you know, vandalized a cave and wrote it down in the cave that they were hunting buffalo. It wouldn't have been known, you know.
Yeah, it would have been hidden where you couldn't see it. And that makes a lot of sense because, you know, they're not leaving a trail of what's going on. And I find it interesting that, you know, going back to the person that actually built a commercial property there but didn't ask beforehand and didn't bless the property, you know, you're running chances of having, you know, restless people that are mad at you for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you cross that ground, you're really crossing a line. And, you know, upsetting people. So, like you said, it is important to bless the property, you know, when you move into it and when you're on it. And I also think it's important that, you know, you ask, well, can I build something here if there's not something already there you're residing in? You know, if you're residing in something that's already there, yeah, of course have it blessed. I think that that is very important.
Yes, I try to encourage people to bless the place before they break ground because they have to ask the current tenants that are there who are not, you know, unseen, if it's okay if they move in, you know, if it's okay if they're here now. And then another ritual that they do is they put tea leaves, which are like the universal kind of healing, you know, practical plant that the Hawaiians use. We plant those at the corners of the property as kind of like not boundary, but just showing the spirits that this area is being occupied, and so that, you know, they're respecting the Hawaiian culture and the Hawaiian culture respects them. You know, it's a mutual agreement, and so it's super important to acknowledge the spiritual realms here because there's so much more of it that is unseen that applies, you know. There was a developer that came here, and he had hired a Hawaiian guy to take care of the bones that they found on the property. I don't know if we were talking about this the last time, but a machine came in and revealed too much of the earth, and it started to rain, so they wanted to put tarps up over it, over the bones, because they had pulled up all these bones. It looked like they were either, you know, something happened. I'm not sure if they were, you know, digging over a cemetery or what, but it was very sacred ground. And the bulldozers just went right over it, like they didn't have the burial council there at that time. And then the rain came, and it was like a torrential rain. And all the bones washed into the ocean. So there was no trace of the bones on land, so that they thought that they could develop. But the court found out about it and stopped the development, and they ended up going into foreclosure. So time had passed. This is recently, and I met the guy who was the caretaker of the bones, and he asked me what, you know, my story was. And being a realtor, I had, you know, kept up on the happenings, and I said, well, there was a desecration of the land, and, you know, it's that's what happened. That's why the developer, you know, went into foreclosure. And so he was, you know, he was a little upset. And I said, well, you know, the bones are gone. The bones are in the ocean now. But when they go to build their $5 million house and it's haunted, then what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, you didn't ask, you didn't, the spirit still resides there, even though the bones are gone. So you might have physical evidence gone, but the spiritual evidence still exists there. You know, you can't really move a cemetery and expect all the, you know, previous occupants to not be there.
Right. Know? I mean, you could move a cemetery, but the problem with moving a cemetery is 9 times out of 10, you're going to find out that a lot of them are still there. I had an incident. I lived in a dorm on the first floor, and I went into this old dormitory that they'd closed down. They had a girls and boys dormitory, and it was haunted. And I mean, I couldn't even go in there, because when I tried to go in and even open the door, the energy was so angry. Everybody was so angry in there. And I thought, what happened here? Why is everybody so angry? I mean, and then I went to bed, and one of the girls on the third floor came running down the steps. She was, you know, fussing and upset. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, there's somebody knocking on my window. I don't understand who it is. Now, we're on a third floor. Yeah, right. I mean, rationality would tell you, well, the only way they could knock on the window is if they had a ladder. A human being could only do that.
Right.
So I'm coming up the stairs. There's no elevator. And I'm hearing this knocking, and I'm thinking, somebody climbed the side of the roof. What happened? Well, yeah. I looked outside, and, you know, none of the other girls would be able to see, so to speak.
Uh-huh.
I looked outside, and it looked like the Indian guy had been hung off of a tree.
Oh.
And so I started doing some, you know, book work, and I went to the library. And there had been fires in previous dorms there. There had been a fire in the girls' dormitory, you know, when they had built the college there. But even before the college in the 1800s, they had built the college on top of a burial ground, and particularly that spot where I was feeling the anger. The guy was angry that they had built the college there because they had run off the Native American Indians and built the college right on top of, you know, this wonderful village where there were little kids that were untying my shoes that nobody could see, where there was, you know, somebody hung from a tree, and, you know, who knows what else went on there. I mean, probably a lot of killing, a lot of, you know, scares. And, you know, like you said, you can't move a cemetery. There was even graves in the back of this particular dormitory. It'd be kind of creepy to go behind there and see all these unmarked graves and not know who somebody is. Unless they tell you, you know, that's about the only way you can identify somebody. But, yeah, I can imagine the bones disappearing. You know, these spirits are going to be restless on this property, you know, that this person was trying to be in. It's a horrible thing, but you have to look at it kind of like, well, would you walk into somebody's house and disrespect them and take something of theirs or move something of theirs? You know, like that, whether they're here or not, you know, in physical flesh or gone. So,
So it's, like you saw, and, you know, I'm really surprised that they would, knowing that they think that they could build, you know, desecrate or not acknowledge that someone lived there before and then build this building and not be able to use it. So, I've been studying that part is, you know, once they do that and the building is haunted, then what do you do? You know, what were you supposed to do with that?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what do we do with, say, for instance, a battlefield? You know,
yeah.
Like there's so much land that was used, you know, for like human sacrifice or, you know, weird things happened. And how do you clean that land up to make it where it's okay for the spirit to be there and it be a productive piece of property? Anyway, the answer that came to my mind was that the land be used for like crops or like to build, you know, to farm, because that's the only way that it would give back to the spirit and give back to the land and give back to the people, is what came to my mind. So
it makes a lot of sense.
I hope
it really does.
It seems like it. I mean, you're looking at California right now. They cut down all the orange trees and built houses, and now they have a drought. Well, the ecosystem tells you that trees create clouds and clouds create rain. So that's when you take a tree down, you're taking a cloud down, you know? And so that's kind of what is being revealed to me right now, is how to keep a balance of the, you know, our ecosystem without like impacting Mother Earth in the way that, you know, is like you said, leave no trace, leave no footprint. We should be trying to have the minimum carbon footprint, you know, and just trying to be one with the earth. So there's actually, because this Big Island has a lot of like really high mineral content in the water and in the land, the people here are much more conscious or conscientious, mm-hmm. I would say. And they live a little bit more where they care about where their food comes from. They care about growing their food versus buying it. They care about walking versus driving. You know, they're real,
yes.
Like, they care about what they say because they understand that what they say creates. So they're much more cautious to say something nice than to try to say anything at all. So it's been really a really great journey here on this island. Now, on the other islands, it's totally different. On Maui, it got taken over by a bunch of Californians, and the culture changed. So you don't feel that aloha spirit as much as you might feel on the more rural islands. But the Big Island has a magnetic power. Because we're on the ley line, we're on the ley line of the earth, 19.47 degree ley line of every planet in our solar system has a powerful either a swirling vortex or a volcano or a big storm. And on this island, on this planet, we have the Bermuda Triangle, the Dragon's Triangle, and the ley line runs right through this island from Ke'e or Kealakekua Bay, right through the island to Kapoho, where the hot springs are. Kino is situated just above the ley line, and the oldest or tallest mountain in the world, Mauna Kea, from seafloor to mountaintop, is located on the underside of the ley line here. So we have old earth and new earth, and a power ley line running in between it. So there's a lot of energy. Yeah, there's a lot of energy that physicists and scientists have come to study. And, you know, there's definitely real significance to why people are more conscious here versus other islands and other places. So I've been real just excited. I've been studying a whole lot about the underground caverns, the underground cities. I know Mount Shasta. I don't know. Have you ever been to Mount Shasta in California?
I have not. I have not been to Mount Shasta yet.
Okay.
But I look forward to going one day. It sounds like it would
Me
be
too.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, we should meet there one time and go do a tour with the, because they have a Lemurian civilization that lives under Mount Shasta. I believe it's called Telos. And Telos is the underground city under Mount Shasta. And there's portals that you can get to it. J.C. Brown, one of the, I believe he was a doctor, and he had found, well, one of the portals was revealed to him, and I believe he had told some people and they wanted to go and see it. And then on the day that he was supposed to show it to them, he disappeared. And I believe that there is a portal there, a place where you can get to the inner earth and Telos. And I've studied, so many people say they go there and see all kinds of interesting things. People, tall beings, there's a lot of orbs. There's a lot of like lights that they'll see in the forest, and people will go hiking and come across, you know, ancient people that speak like a different language. And so there's a few, I know there's a bunch of places on the earth that have access to the inner earth. And there's different cities. There's the city of Agartha, which I believe is accessed through the North and South Poles. Admiral Byrd with the Navy, he had gone there. He had gone there. I believe it was in 1947. And all of this stuff is on YouTube. I mean, I learned all this stuff. There's some old footage of their trip to the Antarctic. And if you look up the Hollow Earth or Inner Earth on Google, you'll see that there is a hole on both sides of the earth that is, you know, it goes in. And what Admiral Byrd did was he went and took a big crew of ships and airplanes and stuff and went in there. And his story, which he couldn't tell until, you know, because in the military you're sworn to secrecy and you die with the information. But what happened was he had a journal of loggings of his adventure there, his excursion there. And when he died, his son published his journal. And in the journal, it talks about Admiral Byrd being sucked in through a magnetic force. He was one of five planes that were touring the area, and his plane was actually pulled out of the group and magnetized into the inner earth. So he had no control over his steering the plane. The plane steered itself. It landed. Some beings, you know, some people were there to meet him. They were humanoid, tall beings, said, "We're going to take you to our leader." And their leader looked, to me, it sounded like he looked like a very old, wise guy, kind of like how Merlin might look, or, you know, Leonardo da Vinci looked, real old guy.
Sure.
But he was very wise, and he was the leader of the council. And he was very knowledgeable and intelligent, and he told Admiral Byrd to not bomb Hiroshima, and do not use your missiles. And of course, he said this is a warning, and they pulled him out because they knew that he was the leader of this whole excursion. And and then sent him back. He said that while he was there, he looked around and saw that there were animals there that had been extinct from the earth, the surface of
That's
the earth.
That's amazing.
So there were mammoths there. There were all the animals lived in peace. the people there, they do their passion, and then they do, you know, what, you know, they help in the community. And it was a very similar story to Telos in Mount Shasta that I had heard. Well, what happened was Admiral Byrd ended up coming back to the U.S. and reporting what he had found. And, of course, the government didn't listen, ended up bombing Hiroshima. And then in 1952, there was that incident over the White House where the three UFOs showed up and made their presence known at the White House. And that was the Agarthans. They have high technology because in Lemuria and Atlantis, they had this ancient, I don't know if you'd call it ancient, because I guess it existed back then, but they had UFOs and they had very high technology, because the civilization of Lemuria was created through the process of seeding alien beings from other planets, seeding the planet. In the Bible, it talks about the Elohim and the Nephilim. Now, the Elohim means those from heaven who came down to earth. So the creation story has to do with these alien beings from other star systems and other planets coming here and bringing seeds from every planet here. So this is why, like, as you'll see now, if you look into the science of, you know, what's happening now in these times, there's like beings, people are saying they see a lot more UFOs. The Sasquatch are coming out, the Bigfoot, you know, the mystical creatures are coming out, because they're like, they want to be known. Like we were talking about the spirits, unrest. All of the beings that, you know, that we were taught in school as being mythical are actually real. And like UFOs are real. And, you know, fairies are real. Mermaids are real. Unicorns. You can see on YouTube that there are unicorns. So I'm just, because I've been not skeptical, but when I learned through the Da Vinci Code that that we were lied to through our being dummied down in school, in how they teach us things that we don't really apply in our normal daily lives, I started questioning everything that I was taught. And so now it makes sense to me when I hear about, you know, like these stories of Admiral Byrd going to the inner earth, people going and seeing Shambhala. You can access that through to Tibet. There's access points through in Tibet going down to Shambhala. And then Agartha and Telos. Telos is the inner earth at through Mount Shasta. So, and then of course there's places like the Ellora Caves, and they found some ancient Egyptian artifacts in the Grand Canyon. Kincaid, one of the, I'm not sure if he was a gold miner or if he was one of those archaeologists that were looking to, you know, find artifacts, but he found an old ancient site where there were big Egyptian, you know how when you go to Egypt and you see those big 60-foot tall statues of the Well, he found those inside caves in the Grand Canyon. And all of the Grand Canyon mountains are named after pharaohs, like Cheops Pyramid. There's I believe, Ramesses pyramid. There's Cleopatra. And so there's different Egyptian artifacts that people are finding in America. So it's really, the truth is coming out. I believe that, like, you know how they're finding ancient hallways under the Sphinx, the Hall of Records?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and new rooms being found underground. So I've been studying more of the subterranean existences more recently, only because I believe at some point there's places where we may have lived underground, and that there's we may be needing to know something that is underground. I know in Paris, or where Princess Diana had, where Princess Diana died, it was in a tunnel, and it was called the Alma. And underneath that tunnel was about 13 stories down in the catacombs was a Tower of Diana, or an altar of Diana, Goddess Diana. So
right.
when you look at all of the art facts that actually happened in modern times, you can kind of see how it might relate to these stories of ancient times. So I'm trying to kind of put all those together right now. I was told that I need to write a book, but at the same time, I'm still researching. So it's just been so interesting to have this information revealed to me. And I'm sure you must have information being revealed to you on that side, on the Native American side, huh?
Well, lots of sides, you know, will come out. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that you're kind of covering the other sides too, because, you know, when we put our heads together, it all kind of comes together. I mean, I'm open to taking whatever information, you know, they want to give, and I know you're the same way. And when we research it and share it with other people, that's the amazing part of all of it.
Yeah, I totally believe. I mean, services like you having these, you know, talks to probably, you know, gives people an idea that, hey, there's more out there than, you know, meets the eye, and maybe what you had studied. And so I'm really looking forward to the information that's coming, you know, forward. We're seeing more UFO and sky activity recently here, especially in Hawaii. I'm not sure if it's because we have portals here. But when we look at the recordings from the top of Mauna Kea, there's like lights and stuff shooting out of the earth here. I'm not sure if they're out of the ocean or out of the mountain, but people call it shooting stars, but I think they're starships, you know, flying across the sky. So I think there's more and more these things are going to be revealed. I don't know if you had seen the UFO incident at the, it was in Jerusalem.
I did see that.
Where it descended and then it shot a light and went straight up. I think things like that are going to be happening more and more because, I've been studying the military only because there's so much secrets that they have that is relative to us knowing who we truly are. So there's information coming out of like majors and, you know, colonels and these people who who are on their deathbed and they have to talk about this incident so that they can die in peace. And so they're telling everyone about these incidents, and a lot of them have to do with the UFOs coming down and shutting down military bases across, you know, 21 miles or so of you know, land, you know. So that part has been really, like, cool in the sense that you can see that really these military people, they don't really have all the power, even though they're using all our money to make power. As we had, you know, mentioned in Lemuria, they have this technology. So it's not like the military is smarter than who the ancients are. The ancients had, you know, way advanced besides telepathy, astral travel as being part of their existence. These things were not taught to us that we had. But now, like people like you just naturally coming out and offering these services to people, it helps people to become aware that they have these powers too. So that's
absolutely
interesting to me. Yeah. You know, bringing out this information and then people going, yeah, I did have an incident, you know, where I, you know, something happened. So I like doing that. I like what you, Amanda, because you really do help people sharpen their senses and make them aware that there are things unseen that exist. And I think that's really, really important. I try to tell my clients that because, you know, I think it's important for people to acknowledge those that came before them and also the spirit that that makes everyone connected. You know, we're connected to those people, the refugees. And so, anyways, I've been feeling for everyone around the world. I've just been praying a whole lot. I know you have too, so... but I hope that, you know, what you do, you know, prospers everyone. And I know that I'm, you know, me as a spiritual realtor, I like to influence or affect people in a way that helps them to be more conscious and aware of not just the environment here, but everywhere. You know,
everywhere.
If love,
it's important.
You know, it's important. And love is something that people need to be taught, and respect, you know. So I've been working hard at that, just, you know, in educating people and being true to myself. And I really love that, you know, the people who come here are called here. So their hearts, you know, more and more people are following their hearts. So I've just been real happy, and I look forward to meeting you and Bethany sometime soon, so I can take you around.
That'll be amazing and fun. We will have a great time. Well, I really appreciate you coming on today, and I know people can find you on Facebook with Claire Bajo Hawaii. How else can they get a hold of you?
My phone number is 808-756-4874, and email claire808@hawaii.rr.com. They're welcome to call me anytime about anything, and I you know, I love helping people at any level, and you know, I look forward to the time where we can all come together and, you know, celebrate our existence, and, you know, as ascended masters, you know, coming to, you know, help the earth get back to where it was. You know, and who, you know, I would like to really know, Amanda, who your ancient spirit is too, so that we can, you know, study more about why
that
you're
would
here
be
and
fun.
What you're doing.
It'd be fun to figure all that out. We'll have a great time.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on today. We have a few minutes left, so we're going to go ahead and end the show, and we'll have to have you back. So it was just a pleasure having you. Thank you for coming on.
Okay, love you folks there, Amanda. Thank you so much.
All right, aloha.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Blessings.
Okay, aloha.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Bye-bye. See you next Monday.
Okay.
You've been listening to WGGM Radio. We'll be back next Monday, and we'll have Claire back. Have a great day, everybody. We're going to end the show with some of Bethany's music. Again, remember, you can check out Claire Bajo on Facebook, Claire Bajo Hawaii. You can check out Bethany on Facebook, Bethany Caudell, and you can message me for CDs or music. We're going to end it with Bethany Caudell. Have a great day, everybody.
I hear the train a-coming, it's rolling around the bend. I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know when. Well, I'm stuck in Folsom Prison, time keeps dragging on. But that train keeps rolling on down to San Antonio. When I was just a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy, don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die. When I hear the whistle blowing, I hang my head and cry. Oh, play that guitar. Do it. I bet there's rich folks eating from the fancy dining car. They're probably drinking coffee and smoking big cigars. Well, I know I had it coming. I know I can't be free. But those people keep moving, and that's what tortures me. From this prison, if that railroad train was mine, bet I'd move it on a little farther down the line. Far from Folsom Prison, that's where I want to stay. And I'd let that lonesome whistle blow my blues away. Left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. And I never lost one minute of sleep, and wasn't about the way things might have been. We still keep on turning, primary keep on burning. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Punched a lot of pain down in New Orleans, but I never saw the goods out of the city till I used to ride on a riverboat queen. If we keep on turning, proud America keep on burning. Rolling, rolling, rolling. Thank you. come down to the river. Bet you're gonna find some people who live. You don't have to worry, hell, you've got no money. People on the river are happy to get. This is keep on turning. Primary keep on burning. Rolling, rolling. One for the money, two for the show. Three to get ready, now go, cat, go. But don't you step on my blue shoes. You can do anything to stay off my blue shoes. You can knock me down, step on my face, slander my name all over the place. Do anything that you want to do. Honey, lay off of those shoes. Now don't you step on my blue shoes. Well, you can do anything to stay off my face. Let's go, cat. I'll walk the dog. You can burn my house, steal my car, drink my liquor from no fruit jar. Anything that you wanna do, honey, lay off the shoes. Now don't you step on my blue gray shoes. You can do anything to lay off my blue gray shoes. I rock it. Woo, yeah. One for the money, two for the show. Three to get ready, now go, go, go. Now don't you step on my blue gray shoes. Well, you can do anything but lay off my blue gray shoes. Well, it's a blue, blue, blue gray shoes, honey. Blue, blue, blue gray shoes, baby. Blue, blue, blue gray shoes, honey. Blue, blue, blue gray shoes. Well, you can do anything but lay off my blue gray. Check those old records off the